What's up, faithful listeners? This
Welcome
is episode
back.
17. Sexy and 17.
How you all doing tonight?
What's the music?
They're not really new. They're new to us. It's called Ume. U-M-E. Ume?
Ume.
And I think they've been around since like 2005, but that song was called Blackstone off their new album. And I just heard them for the first time last night, so.
And I just heard them for the first time.
Ever.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's
very
cool. So, it's been a while. And, what, like 3 weeks since we've been back?
Something like that.
That's
like
cool.
3 weeks, month.
Not
I don't
too
know.
Bad. It's okay, better
yeah,
than our last
on top of
our
the,
last showing.
We're not going 3 months at a time.
Yeah. So, yeah, we promise to keep them coming a little faster if we can.
Yeah, our goal is 2 weeks, every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, shit
happens.
It's
probably going to be more like every 3 weeks.
But that's all right. Well, just not every 3 months. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
So,
and what are we drinking tonight, Cody?
We're drinking black and tans.
Mm.
Blake is the black and tan pouring master. He's got, doesn't be tickle or nothing.
Yeah. I've been getting really into drinking black and tans lately for some reason.
And he's really good at pouring them.
These ones weren't as great.
Which I proved that I am not good at last weekend.
So basically what a black and tan is like a dark porter style beer and then like a lighter, lager or pale ale on the bottom. And you, you pour the dark beer slowly on top of the pale ale to create two different colors, one
yeah,
sitting on top of the other.
Yeah, floats on top.
And that's why they call it the black and tan, because it's two different colors.
Totally.
I've found the best way to pour them and make them separate is I've tried it a bunch of times, and sometimes I fail, and it just mixes together. It doesn't really look
right.
That cool. But the best thing to do... what I learned on the internet is you pour the first light beer in kind of fast to get like a nice head on top of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then when you pour the Guinness on top, it's that head kind of helps it separate.
Nice. That's awesome.
And then you basically just pour it slowly over a spoon inside the glass. And they have special spoons for that. But I don't have one. I wish.
Yeah, because it's silly. But they're neat.
There's also this other... These new glasses that they have that is like a two beer glass, and they kind of twist on the inside. Like there's like a separator in the middle.
Okay.
And so you can pour half a beer or one beer in one side
so
and one beer in the other.
So it just mixes when you drink it?
And then when you drink it, it mixes it.
That's silly. It's better to have just floated on top of it.
It's pretty cool,
all
though.
Mixed together.
I kind of want one, but they're like $35.
I'd like to try it, but I think that pouring it the way you do is just as good. And it's probably like that's the way it's meant to be because you just drink through it. Like,
uh-huh.
So eventually
it
just gets mixed together
and
anyway.
Set it down,
yeah.
It kind of just starts getting mixed together for
yeah,
sure.
I like that idea.
So this one, so we have a couple different kinds of beer this time. And I wanted to, I didn't want to just do the same black and tan all night. So
yeah,
I got like, we have, this one is Guinness Extra Stout and then Harp. Is that what it is?
Harp
Lager.
Harp Lager.
And, it's pretty delicious.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's way good. I'm digging it for show.
We've been talking about, trying to make things a little more interesting as we keep
we're not interesting?
Well, I think we are.
No, I know what you mean.
I think that we have like certain segments every time, and I don't
yeah,
feel like
right.
Sometimes we go into certain things deep enough. And so I kind of want
right.
to like if we're going to be doing like a highlight on a beer or mm-hmm. a whiskey or something, I kind of want to like throw out there kind of its origins and you know
totally
where
yeah.
it was first made or how they make it.
I agree.
So.
We get a little more informational and less like tastes good.
Yeah, that tastes good. Moving on.
Yeah, totally.
Let's just talk
no,
some
I
shit
agree.
For another hour.
Yeah. So.
So where did the black and tan come from, Cody?
Well, it says that the black and tan. Well, I read that the black and tan originated in England. And that in Ireland, where the most famous like concoction is Guinness and Bass.
Uh-huh.
They don't call them black and tans for some sort of political reasons. The black and tans were the names of the military group of that the British sent over in the early 1920s. So the Irish don't call them that.
Them
no, they
out.
Don't. And there were actually a couple like people tried to like make a black and tan like Irish thing, and then they just ended up pissing off Irish people because they're like, we don't fucking call them black and tan just because you use our beer doesn't mean that's what
yeah,
we have to call them.
Yeah, because you're using Guinness.
Yeah, they call them half and halves in Ireland.
So maybe we'll just call it a half and half from now on, yeah. So I don't piss off anybody.
So we don't get any Irish people burning down our website,
I'm going to confuse a lot of our friends now. I'm going to be like, hey, what are you drinking? A half, half and half? Half? What does that mean?
Like, gross. You're drinking half and half just straight out of a glass? That's disgusting.
It's beer with half and half in it.
It's just, yeah. That would have. We'd have to come up with a really cool name for that.
We should try that.
That sounds so good. Yeah. Depends on the beer, I guess. Guinness probably wouldn't be that bad because you kind of overpower it. But it's just like a super creamy Guinness. Well,
and since we're... I thought about maybe doing like an episode and doing just Guinness beer by itself.
Because it's the
best. I think it does stand alone.
It's so good.
As a great beer. But I thought I'd just throw a little bit of Guinness trivia your way.
Throw some knowledge.
I'm going to look this up because it says that Guinness is an Irish dry stout that originated in the brewery of Arthur Guinness from 1725 to 1803.
Totally.
Which, that's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's old ass beer, and I wonder if it's like
yeah they had like
if it
the,
tastes
the
same
bottles
as
like
used
say
to.
Like 1759, and they say that they've had the same recipe since 1759.
And it's called,
I don't think that can possibly
at
be
Saint
true,
James
but.
Gate is where they made it mm-hmm. in Dublin, and
it's so true.
Apparently, it is one of the most successful beer brands ever, and it's brewed in 60 countries and available in over 120 countries. And has annual sales of 850 million liters.
Whoa, that's a shit ton of beer.
That's a shit ton of liters. I'll have somebody convert that for me later.
50 million liters.
And I'm going to...
How many kilometers is that?
So, I didn't know what like stout meant, but apparently right. It's just a dark beer made using roasted malt or roasted barley hops. So they basically just roast it.
Right.
Which I didn't know that. I kind of always wondered like why they. I think
so
beer is interesting to me.
Yeah, I think it's yeah. Beer's, beer. There's a lot of things in this world that I'm constantly like, who fucking figured that out?
Mm-hmm.
Like who figured out that if you leave wet grains, you know, like covered up for too long, that they ferment and turn into alcohol. And if you do it just right, they're good enough to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who fucking figured that out? Like, that's a mistake. Nobody did that on purpose because
well,
there's no way for you to know
beer,
that.
They,
somebody
they
fucked
they
up
did it
and that
because,
happened.
Because they figured out that if they fermented water using and making it into beer, that it sanitized the water because people
yeah.
were getting sick off of water. And then they just came up with beer.
But they're talking about, like,
accident.
Beer's been around since, like, ancient Egyptians. There's no way they figured that shit out. Maybe they did. I don't know. They built the pyramids.
Yeah,
or aliens did. Maybe aliens brought the beer, Maybe we didn't figure it out. Aliens just were like, "Here you go, there's a recipe for beer."
That would be pretty sweet.
That'd be so cool. I hope that's
like
if we find out aliens are real. The first thing I'm going to say is, did they invent beer or did we invent beer?
I want to find out if you're really intelligent. Do you guys have beer?
Do you have beer? Yeah.
They're like, "What's beer?"
Oh no!
Fuck you. Go back to your own
advanced
planet.
Society. My hairy eyeball.
You might be able to fucking.
You can't fool me.
Yeah.
Get you might build a spaceship, but if you can't
UFO
make alcohol
or whatever, but if you can't make beer, I don't want anything to do with you.
Dummies. So anything else about Guinness?
Let's see. I think basically I just wanted to say that, you know, it's just kind of,
you wanted to give it some of its due.
Yeah. I mean, and being that they roast it, you can tell. If you've never seen what Guinness looks
yeah.
like in a glass, like you can't see through it by itself. It is a dark, delicious beverage.
It's true.
And this extra, what is it? The extra stout? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Is really good.
You like it?
It has a little bit more of a like a bitterness bite to it than the regular Guinness does.
Yeah, I
think
I
Guinness
really
kind of
like
tastes like chocolate milk.
Really?
Just,
I don't.
Yeah, it's just
yeah.
like kind of chocolatey tasting to me. But most dark beers like that kind of chocolatey, I think. Coffee chocolate flavor.
Yeah, I could see that a little bit more. I love it. That's one of my favorite beers of all time for sure. And it's just like when you can get it on tap, it's like so drinkable.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that's cool about Guinness is it's nitro.
It goes down.
So when you get a can of Guinness, instead of having it carbonated, they have the little ball that's inside. You can hear it shaking around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what gives it its carbonation, rather than just, I guess, pumping a bunch of CO2 into it like normal beer.
Okay, so 850 million liters is 224,546,244.5 gallons.
That's almost as much as I drink in a year.
Yeah, that's about what my beer intake is. I could probably keep Guinness in business single-handedly.
Most people can't just sit and drink like a bunch of Guinness. You know, that's not.
I don't really understand why. I totally can.
I could drink a few.
Well, you know, and this is the.
They're
this
heavy,
is,
but.
Well, that's the funny part. Okay, so there's like these. There's major misconceptions about Guinness. So first of all, Guinness technically has fewer calories than a regular beer. It actually is comparable to a light beer.
Hmm.
The extra stout is anyway. To like what a light beer has, it's slightly more calories than a light beer, and also, it has lower alcohol percent.
Really?
A standard Guinness has like 4.2% alcohol instead of like the standard 5%. So, yeah, Guinness is it's a mellow bev.
I bet they don't get a bunch of shit for that all the time like Utah does.
They don't. Why would they? Nobody cares about that.
It's because they just like...
They only care about it when they're like going to Utah and they're like, Guinness.
Do people normally drink Guinness as a cold beer, or in Europe do they drink it warm?
I think they drink it warm in Europe, but I don't really know. I've never been to Europe, unfortunately.
I know. We should do that.
We should do that. Go there and just drink Guinness.
we could... Let's set up ourselves a business license for the podcast and then...
Done deal.
And then we can just write that shit off.
That's such a good idea.
We had to travel.
That is such a good idea. Right? Yep. I like it. That's so smart.
Coming soon to the podcast, yeah. Europe.
We're gonna promote it too. We're gonna do live shows in Europe. Like, we matter.
Yeah,
and I bet you we get so many people to come.
Oh, the other thing that I was thinking about today that I wanted to mention to see if you might want to do this, but I'm just gonna go ahead and throw it out there is I want.
Would have put me on the spot.
Well, I'm not actually. I'm gonna put our listeners on the spot. What I want is. If there's like a specific drink that you really like that we haven't already covered, I want you to write in and tell us about it. Or if you have like a recipe of a drink that like you have, especially like we did my Blake Julius, or if you have like just like a favorite beer or something you want to hear a review of that kind of beverage.
I would say that goes for
pretty much anything.
Movies and news and music even too.
Yeah.
We're open. We're open to suggestions. So if we're.
It would make it nice that we don't have to think of everything all the time. We just like, we have to do what the listeners
ask.
Well,
and then we know that, like, you know, people are clamoring for it, so they want to hear it. So we'll be more in tune.
So I just thought that might be kind of a good idea.
So I think that's a great idea. That's a really good idea. So I'm so on board.
So, yeah, listeners, write in.
Just don't make it gross. Don't make us gross. Don't make us drink gross stuff.
I don't want to drink
or
like
watch gross movies.
Chocolate and then like
or listen to
Drano
gross music.
Or something, and that's like your favorite.
Yeah.
Drink.
Oh. Yeah. So what it is it's you smoke a bunch of opium, and then you chug while you're breathing in the opium, and then like.
we've done a couple specialty drinks. I mean, we're doing Black and Tans tonight.
Blake Julius's.
We did Blake Julius's, and we did with Jess and Casey the Manmosas.
Manmosas. Yep.
So. Anything would be really cool for us to like try, you know?
Yeah, all those have been fun.
So you want to move on to some news stories?
Totally.
I haven't heard any of these yet, so.
I know. I was going to send them to you, but
That's okay.
I didn't, so.
I like kind of hearing them.
You're on the spot, bro.
As we go. That's cool.
All right. The first one is Donut Shop opens inside gym, refuses to sell donuts.
What the fuck?
Yeah, a donut shop opening inside a YMCA will sell low-fat muffins, salads, sandwiches, and yogurt to gym patrons, but not donuts, because that wouldn't mesh with the Y's health-conscious image. Rather than change its name to Honeydew Muffins, Salads, Sandwiches, and Yogurt, the Quincy, Massachusetts Honeydew Donuts just decided to torture gym goers with the promise of delicious pastries without actually delivering the goods. Making matters worse, the donut-free Honeydew is the company's only location in the town. Oh, and about those low-fat muffins, they reportedly contain more calories and sugar than the forbidden donuts.
What in the hell?
What's the point? Like, why? Okay, first of all, I think it's weird that you're going to open a donut shop inside of a YMCA. That's really weird. But
I mean, kind of smart, because then you just keep your business coming, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know, like, why inside? Like, I've been, I guess I can't really picture it. Like, I've been to, like, health clubs and stuff, and there's, like, a juice bar, like, a little snack stand, but, like, a donut place, like, even if they don't sell donuts, like, that's just...
Yeah, and, it, like, the smell would waft through the whole place. It would smell all good, and you'd be hungry the whole time you're working out. That just doesn't seem like something I would want to do. And I don't want to work out anyway, but...
And to be the only location of a chain that's in that town... And you don't even sell the
was
name
it,
of your
I
product?
Wonder if maybe it was like just the only place that was
it's
like
a Burger
open
King,
spot or something.
Burger King opened somewhere and they're like, we don't sell burgers. You'd be like, well, then couldn't you just be something else?
I don't agree with this.
I think it's super weird and super funny.
Where was this at?
Quincy, Massachusetts. Uh-huh. So, yeah, fucking so weird.
Well, go to Massachusetts. Don't get fat. Unless you're eating muffins.
Yeah, fat, sugar-filled muffins.
I don't know. I don't really care for donuts all that much anyway.
Really? No. I love donuts.
They're okay. I hate when people bring them to work because then I'm like almost forced to eat them.
Yeah. You know? You're on the spot.
And it's like 8 o'clock in the morning and I really don't need like a pound of sugar in my stomach. But I'm like, well, you brought them.
You're on the spot.
That's why I have like a love-hate relationship with donuts.
Because you feel like you're always forced to eat them?
Well, I feel like obligated. Well, if you went out and got like... 4 dozen donuts for everybody. I gotta try one. You know,
I don't be the guy who didn't have them, and you're like, "Why aren't you eating a donut?"
I used to work with a lady that brought in baked goods all the time, mm-hmm. and if you didn't eat one, she was really offended. And so, like,
so you were like obligated to eat one every
definitely.
Time. Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
But and they were always good. But it's like
but
you're not
like
always
it.
In the mood to eat sweets. And
I totally agree. I 100% agree.
She'd be like,
that.
Oh, you want a cookie? Oh, no, I'm okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's fine. No, thank you. Why not? Why not?
It's like, well, then don't fucking have any next time.
Yeah. All right. So you might have seen this one on the news or on the TV or something, but we have to talk about it. A cheerleader in New Jersey is suing her parents because they won't pay for her college education.
No.
High school senior Rachel Canning is a cheerleader and an honor student at Morris Catholic High in Denville, New Jersey. She's been accepted to multiple universities, but according to CBS, she might not be able to go. Canning claims that once she turned 18, she was kicked out of her house. She is now suing her parents to pay for her, quote, private school tuition, college tuition, and living expenses. Her father, a retired police chief, is none too pleased. We're being sued by our child, said Sean Canning, a former police chief in Lincoln Park, New Jersey. I'm dumbfounded. So is my wife. So are my other daughters. I know Rachel is A, a good kid, B, an incredibly rebellious teen, and C, she's getting some terrible information. He claimed Rachel ran away from home in November because she did not want to follow house rules. Quote, living in our house there's very rules. There's very rules. I hope that's exactly how he said it. There's minor chores. There's curfews. When I say curfew, it's usually after 11 o'clock at night. Rachel's now living with her friend's family, which includes attorney John Inglesino. Inglesino,
what a dick,
is funding the lawsuit. Shocking. Telling CBS 2 News, it is the only way the bright and focused teen will be able to go to a college appropriate for her to become a biomedical engineer. Rachel, who has a $20,000 scholarship, said the University of Vermont is her first choice. Meanwhile, her dad gave her an ultimatum, dump the bad influence boyfriend or get out. Also, her parents have said that Rachel has had disciplinary problems, having been suspended twice at school and gotten into trouble for bullying her sister, and that she was seeing a therapist and taking medication before moving out. Now, there is a follow-up to the story. The girl apparently moved back in with her parents and dropped her lawsuit, but... Just the fact that this could ever happen in America is fucking ridiculous.
It's like...
You're a shitty kid.
Man!
And you say you got kicked out, but then you sue your parents for, like, to pay for your private school tuition and then your college tuition. I'm sorry, you're 18. You can't sue anybody. You can't sue your parents for that shit. You're 18, you're an adult.
And they don't have to put you through college.
No, that's the whole, like, totally don't. It's fucking ridiculous. Can I sue my parents to pay my student loans off?
She moves in with some asshole lawyer.
Yeah.
Not to say that all lawyers are assholes,
what do you
but
want to
this
bet
guy
he's poking
is an asshole. And he's like, hey, you know what? You should really be getting money for
college. Yeah, you should
college.
Sue your
like,
parents.
What the hell?
That's so fucked up. Yeah, that guy's a creep, probably. And he was doing it to try to get in her pants or something weird was going on there. Because who would do that? I know that this is going to sound silly, but what self-respecting attorney would do that? Like, why would you, like, So now he's probably going to sue her parents to pay him for his legal fees because she probably didn't pay him.
That's what's funny is like if he was willing to pay for all of his legal fees, why didn't he just put her through college? If he if he thought it was so awesome, he's got money.
That's so stupid. But yeah, crazy story.
And she's already got 20,000 of it for free.
I know. Well, University of Vermont's pretty expensive.
If you get like $20,000 scholarship, is that it or is that every year?
I don't really know. I have no idea. I've never got a scholarship. So I have no idea.
I think you should have.
I think so too, but they don't usually hand out scholarships for people with, B grades, B minus grades. But yeah, I don't know. I would imagine it's every year, assuming you meet like your academic standards and stuff, but I really have no idea. I know like if you graduate from school early, mm-hmm. In Utah, you get $1,000, but that's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And that's, it might be more now, but when we were in school,
I would have.
Yeah.
If I would have gone to college.
But you was only good at state school, so you had to go to either the U of U or UVU. You couldn't go to the community college.
Oh.
So anyway.
What a spoiled bitch.
Interesting. Yeah, it's fucking, seriously, that's just so weird.
And all she really had to do was apply herself a little bit to get A's in high school.
She did. That's how she got a $20,000 scholarship.
I know. I mean, but I'm saying it's not like she had to work that hard. It's really not that hard.
It's like she just shouldn't fucking sue her parents. Like, it's a joke, dude. It's so ridiculous. I can't even handle it. She's a dum-dum.
Yeah, I don't care for her. I hope she gets kicked out of college.
I hope so, too. All right. These meth-smoking incest siblings are the great craziest Florida story that didn't actually happen in Florida.
Is that what the news
says? That's the headline. Well, here's a story that escalates really fucking fast. Siblings Charlene Ellett and Cameron Beck, in addition to Ellett's 2-year-old twin daughters, arrived at a Walmart in Porter, Texas last month, where Ellett was detained on shoplifting charges. When Beck came looking for his sister at the loss prevention office, authorities searched their car and found a burnt light bulb and a cut pen, both which tested positive for crystal meth. The two were booked with shoplifting and possession of a controlled substance, which would have been where the story ended if the deputies hadn't put the two in adjoining cells. Rookie mistake. I'll let the Montgomery County police reporter take it from here. Quote, when they arrived back at the office, both were placed in adjoining cells. As deputies worked on the booking reports, they witnessed Beck and Ellett kissing each other and on the lips through the bars. One of the deputies questions what they had told them earlier about being brother and sister, and Ella admitted they were. Ella was then removed and taken back to another office and questioned about the strange relationship. She told them she was adopted and had the same biological mother, but a different father. She stated that Beck had been in prison and they had been writing each other. He was released in November of last year. These two booked for a little bit of shoplifting and meth, and all of a sudden they act like they're going down on the Titanic with like Leo and Kate. Also, fact, having the same biological mother equals still siblings.
Yeah.
She also stated that she had been staying in a motel and her Beck and the twins were sleeping in the same bed. She admitted to being involved in a sexual relationship with her brother since his release. She explained that the room had a partition and the children would stay on the other side of the partition when she and her brother had sex. Dude. Other times, she and her brother would just go to the bathroom. The story has got everything. Walmart, shoplifting, meth, prison romance, incest.
But the two kids aren't theirs together?
No. I think he was in prison when they were conceived. God. But incestuous sex in front of children. Wait, are we sure these two aren't from Florida? Oh, my God. This is a funny story.
No, Texas. So,
yeah, so that's going down.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
I heard part of that story before about them making out in the jail cell. Yeah, just the cop walking in, just like, ew.
Oh yeah, oh my God.
Stop it.
Yeah. That's your sister.
Luckily, they had more than another, like, they had at least one more cell to bring
her.
Yeah,
move them at least, one apart.
Good God.
Fucking, okay.
Imagine what would have happened if they would have put them in the same cell.
Oh God. So our last story is a continuation of the previous story. Everyone's favorite meth-smoking incest enthusiast found yet another way to get thrown in jail. This story is from like 2 days later. When we first met Charlene Ellett, she and her brother were celebrating their arrest for shoplifting at Walmart and possessing meth by making out in jail. The Texas Tale was the most Florida story to ever take place outside of Florida, and now it's gotten even more Florida-y. Ellett was arrested late Monday evening, just days after being released from the previous incident, at the motel where she shacks up with her brother. The charge? Choking her husband, who is not her brother. You might think the choking incident stems from Ellett's relationship with her sibling becoming public. She told deputies that she and her brother had been intimate since November, but nope, the fight was over a cell phone. Apparently, there was a dispute over a cellular phone at the location, and the male reported that the female assaulted him. She said he assaulted her, but deputies advised that his injuries were consistent with his report. The man, whose name was not released, had scratches and redness on his neck. No shit, he had redness on his neck? Redneck. And had a hard time talking due to the swelling around his throat. She reportedly had put him in a chokehold. Ellett is in Montgomery County Jail on a $50,000 bond. This is the craziest bitch in the world.
You never fucking mess with an ancestral meth head, dude. She will fuck you up.
And how about if you married someone and then you found out years later that she was an incestuous meth head? Oh, scary. You should see her, too. She's a real looker.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, God.
We'll pull some pictures of that crazy bitch.
She looks pretty much exactly what you would think she would look like.
That's gross.
So bad. That's one of the worst stories I've ever read.
Well, if that wasn't enough to just make you feel
I hope you weren't trying to eat
nice inside
while we were doing this.
Let's cheer people back up and play a little more Ume. This is the song is called The Conductor, and it is off their Sunshower EP.
How many records do they have?
They have 4 records.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3 full lengths and an EP, I believe. That's as much as I could find on iTunes.
Awesome.
So here we go, The Conductor.
Nice. That was good.
Holy shit.
I like that song.
Ume. Yeah, I really like this band. I think they're pretty rocking. I think they have a very there's something about them that just kind of reminds me of 90s rock.
It's very 90s garage rock.
They are
the Chick Singer helps too.
Yeah, and they're
I'm assuming
they're compared to like online they're a compared woman. To like Sonic Youth and Blonde Redhead, like their old first
okay.
album.
Yeah.
Like some of the shit sounds very much like Blonde Redhead.
That.
She like gets like a lot more like kind of weird vocals and
oh really?
And yeah, kind of, just how Blonde Redhead sounds. If you've ever heard Blonde Redhead, they fucking have kind of a weird singing patterns and shit. But so last night my friend Chris called me and said, hey, I have a extra ticket to the show. Do you want to go? I was like, okay. It's at Kilby Court. And Kilby Court is kind of just a small, kind of like undergroundish.
It's like a garage, basically.
All-age show place. Put on like small rock concerts and stuff there.
Yeah, it's like down an alley in a garage.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. And it's been around for lots and lots of years. But they put on some pretty cool shows. And we show up last night. There was probably only like 20... 30 people there, maybe tops.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we went, I looked these guys up online, and everybody's saying like they're a fucking amazing show to see, and they didn't disappoint at all.
Really?
Holy crap, dude. So this is a 3-piece band from Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the singer and lead guitar player, Lauren Larson.
Uh-huh.
Fucking goes nuts.
Oh, really?
Just. She's maybe like 5'4". She's like tiny little blonde girl, and she just wails on the guitar and flips out and is like doing like high kicks and like jumps and like whipping her hair around.
Awesome.
And fucking just really good at guitar and like
that's way cool.
Impressive, like the kind of melody she can play and sing at the same time was very cool.
That's awesome.
And then they have the other girl in the band is their drummer, Rachel Fuhrer, F-U-H-R-E-R. How would you say that?
F-U-H-R-E-R?
Yeah.
Fuhrer?
Yeah,
Fuhrer. As in Der Fuhrer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And she was really fucking amazing at the drums, and their bass player, Eric Larson, apparently the lead singer and the bass player are married.
Oh, cool.
So they like a traveling couple. That would be pretty cool.
That would be a good way to do it, yeah.
But yeah, they're a really solid band. And
although I have heard that the road ain't no place to start a family.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it, and it
that's
seemed
awesome.
To be working out.
Yeah, I've never heard of them before, but
neither did I.
They like what I hear.
It impressed me enough that I thought, well, we're podcasting tomorrow. Maybe we'll just highlight those guys.
Yeah,
we're
trying to bring you some newer music.
It's different than anything we've really done so far.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I thought they were really cool. Let's see. I think they like I said before, they've been around since like 2005 or something for like, their first album.
Mm-hmm.
And. And then they got like four records.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, she can fucking wail, dude. Like, way better at guitar than me. I was like, you bitch.
It's not a contest, dude.
It's always
a contest.
No, it's not a contest, but it's just when I go see a show and I can see people doing stuff that I can't do, it's just kind of like, fuck,
isn't
you're
like
really
going
good.
To, but
I
isn't
wish
like
I could
going to see
that.
Like art, like artists that do stuff that like isn't necessarily better than your art, but just different than what you do. It makes you like inspires you to try new shit.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely inspiring to go. I think that's what's fun about looking at art or going and watching cool bands play. But yeah, so one of those cool things where you just happen to like stumble upon a show to go to and. And
yeah, that's really cool, man.
Really,
I like that
rocking.
Kind of shit.
So the next couple songs are kind of in the same vein as the last two, but they, some of the shit that she did was just kind of math rocky, like all of her guitar riffs and stuff.
Yeah,
and I thought
I love
it was
that
really
shit.
Cool. So I would say you guys should go check those guys out because they're fucking cool. If they come to your town, I think they're playing Boise tonight. Which you, if you're in Boise and listening to our podcast, that will be over.
Yeah,
but they're
yeah,
on
live,
tour
live
right now,
streaming.
And I think they played South by Southwest this year. And
oh, cool.
I think 2 years ago they were voted by Rolling Stone the number one band that's not signed.
Oh, really?
And then they got signed.
Of course. Yeah, that's usually how that uh-huh. goes. But it makes sense they would play South by Southwest. It is in their hometown after all.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty fucking cool. There were a lot of y'alls thrown out when they were. They didn't really talk much.
So they're very Texas.
Yeah, very, very Texas. But to see something that kind of rocking and like kind of grungy sounding come out of Texas, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's way cool. I feel like Austin, I mean, is a whole nother world, but a lot of interesting, eclectic music comes out of Austin. I mean, it is the live music capital of the world, I think is what they call it, but...
I've never been. I think that should be something we should do sometime.
Yeah,
I
agree. Let's get that... Let's write it off.
Okay. All right.
We'll go to South by Southwest next year and we'll try to get press passes for this podcast. We should really start doing that, just trying to get press passes for stuff.
And last night I thought, man, this would be a great opportunity to interview somebody because there's like nobody fucking here. Like they got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
But That'd be cool. I'm really not that kind of person to walk up to somebody and be like, hey, can I dork out with you for like 20 minutes?
Yeah, we talk a big game behind microphones when nobody can see our faces. But yeah, we're chicken shits. We both are.
But yeah, they seem pretty cool. During that song, I poured us some new Black and Tans.
Yeah.
Or some new half and halves, as some would call it. And this time I used just a regular Guinness draught.
Guinness draught.
And a cutthroat pale ale from Uinta Brewery here in Salt Lake City. And it's delicious.
I like this one better.
It's a little smoother.
What was the first one?
It was the extra stout and the harp. Yeah. I kind of like it a little bit better with the pale ale because I think the pale ale has just like the more bitterness that mixes with the
I think the flavors meld together a little bit better. It's not as stark.
Yeah, so it's
real good.
It's delicious.
It's real good.
I would really suggest that. If you don't get cutthroat in your town, just get another pale ale that you enjoy.
Or just move.
Throw some Guinness on top of it and call it a day.
Cutthroat's everywhere now these days. Or it might be called Angler where you are.
Really?
That's what they do, the High Points. Haven't you ever seen those? They have them here. You can get them at a liquor store. It's the same label, just says Angler instead of Cutthroat.
No, I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should probably do that sometime.
So just High Point Cutthroat.
Delicious. And I don't have a fucking thing queued up for this because my phone sucks.
I don't know. Okay. Well, we saw the Lego Movie, which... kind of in keeping with our newer themes, we wanted to see a new movie, and I'm really, really glad we did.
Yeah. Well, this is the second time you've seen it.
It was fuck yeah! I saw it like 2 weeks before, and then we saw it together a couple weeks ago. And if you haven't seen the Lego Movie, just fucking do yourself a favor and go see it. It is so good. It's so smart and really funny, and it's like. So if you think of like all the movies that have been made from like toys or video games or whatever, a lot of times the story is like really convoluted or they have to invent a story. Like I never saw Battleship, but I don't even care what the story was.
I actually kind of like that movie.
But it
never
watched with the game Battleship,
hung
right?
Over in the morning.
Has nothing to do with the game Battleship. They just put the name on there.
They basically created a story. I mean, it was like ships fighting, kind of.
Yeah,
and they were shooting like big weird cannon things at each other. But.
Yeah, or I was thinking like Transformers, which I know was a cartoon as well as toys, but like the stories are just like so ridiculous and like insulting because the point isn't the story. The point is to like show all this action and look at these cool Transformers and watch this Camaro turn into a robot. And the Lego Movie... didn't have that. There's no origin story to Legos. There's nothing. So they had to invent a story and figure out a way to make it work with Legos. And
okay.
We won't give away the ending or anything, but the way they fucking did it is so good.
So basically, imagine yourself picking up a bunch of Legos and creating your own story and having like maybe like your son or like your little kid or if you were a little kid, that's pretty much what like the idea of the story is. It's like somebody playing with some Legos. It's like that's how it feels when you're watching it. Like, kind of like cheesy, like kind of made up shit as it goes along. Mm-hmm. It was like really cool.
Yeah.
And it felt like that the whole way through the movie.
Yeah.
Where
it's smart.
And it's like. It's just very fun, you know?
Yeah, it's enjoyable for no matter how old you are. I think that it's so successful because people our age are the ones who have kids these days, and we grew up playing with Legos.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take our kids to see it, and we like it because not only is it cool to see Legos in a movie, but it is a smart and funny and interesting movie for adults as well as kids. I don't know anybody really older who's seen it, like anybody like, you know, in their like 60s. But I would imagine it would still be just as enjoyable for them because those are like our parents' age. So they grew up with us playing with Legos. So they might have. But you don't even have to like Legos to get into it. It's just like, it's just really good.
The other thing that really struck me was the animation is so fucking awesome. Like,
oh yeah, it's amazing.
Everything looks like a Lego, like just it's so
when there's like
rad.
Fire or water, it's like Legos, like in like almost like stop motion.
Yeah, they just kind of move back. Yeah, it's basically the whole thing is a stop motion.
Yeah, it's
but animated. It's really cool. I think I got the trailer pulled up if you want to listen to it.
Yeah,
that's all right. Totally. Let's do that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Okay, and we're rolling and action. Just. Go ahead when you're ready.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I've just been bat-mailing on my bat phone.
Yeah, can you just do the line, please?
I'm Batman.
No, the other line?
Oh, right. I'm supposed to say some baloney about how you shouldn't click that skip button.
Yeah, the sooner you do that, the sooner we can show people the trailer for the Lego movie.
Fine. Crank up those subwoofers, dude, and check this out.
Good morning, apartment. Ready to start the day.
Jumping jacks, hit them. One, two, three.
I am so pumped up! Yes! Overpriced coffee.
That's $37.
Awesome!
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song!
It's cool with the team. Everything is awesome.
Ah, no, guys, wait up! Where am I?
Come with me if you want to not die.
Happening?
You're the special. And the prophecy states that you're the most important person in the universe. That's you, right?
Yes. That's me.
Relax, everybody. I'm here.
Batman? Awesome!
Who are you here to see?
I'm here to see your butt.
Oh my gosh.
Pow. Wham. First try.
My fellow master builders.
Hello.
Lord Business plans to end the world as we know it. There is yet one hope. The special has arisen.
I know what you're thinking. He is the least qualified person to lead us. And you are right.
A house divided against itself would be better than this.
Abraham Lincoln!
I'm not the special.
I'm just a regular, normal guy.
You have the ability to be the special because I believe in you.
Robots, destroy him!
Aloha, loser!
We'll wing it. It's a bat pun.
Take him to the melting chamber.
Isn't there supposed to also be a good cop?
Hi, buddy. Would you like a glass of water?
Yeah, actually.
Too bad.
They're entering your mind.
What?
I don't think he's ever had an original thought.
That's not true.
Introducing the double-decker couch. So everyone could watch TV together and be buddies.
That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Let me handle this. That idea is just the worst.
To the Batmobile.
Dang it.
To the invisible jet. Dang it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fucking Lego movie, it's so...
Just watching that so sums funny. Up how fun it is to watch that movie, dude. It's really cool.
So, there's basically the plot is there's just an average worker bee Lego guy.
And he is super generic looking.
Yeah, he is like the most generic looking possible. And he sort of stumbles into greatness in a way.
Like you hear in the trailer, she's like, "Are you the special?"
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, yes. Yes, I am."
Yeah, his name is Emmett Brakowski. And they're trying to
Who
find
plays him.
It's Chris Pratt. He's Andy Dwyer from Parks and Recreation.
Oh, right, right.
He was also in the Zero Dark Thirty, I think. He's been in stuff. Will Ferrell plays the bad guy who is Lord Business or President Business, as he is known in one of the worlds.
Will Arnett is Batman.
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks is Wild Style, the I don't know what you want to call her, the heroine of the film.
Mm-hmm. And then Liam Neeson is the good cop,
Liam
bad
Neeson,
cop.
Good cop, bad cop. There's actually a lot of really funny, like Charlie Day is Benny, the spaceship guy. who all he wants to do is build spaceships. Because so how it works is so Emmett is this like worker bee, and he's been taught his whole life to follow instructions. And there's all these shows on TV and all these songs on the radio that are just like super generic. Like the running joke is there's a TV show called Where's My Pants? And all they ever show is a guy looking at his wife going, "Where are my pants?" And everybody laughs, and it cuts to like, that's the end of the show. And so it's like really stupid, mind numbing crap. And like the big song in the movie is the one, Everything Is Awesome, which is actually performed by Tegan and Sarah. With the Lonely Island guys,
right?
Which is I love that. That song gets stuck in
your head. Yeah, it's
sure.
Very catchy. That shit will get stuck in your head all day long.
Yeah,
like, probably after this podcast, after listening to that, I'll be stuck in my head
for a couple of days.
Everything
probably
is awesome.
And they're trying to. There's Will Ferrell as Lord Business, and in the very beginning of the movie, he faces off against Morgan Freeman, who is Vitruvius, is the name of his character. And
he basically looks like Gandalf, or
yeah,
like a,
he's
like a
yeah.
wizard goddess.
He's got glowing eyes and shit. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they have this like standoff over the piece of resistance, which is really funny. And Will Ferrell ends up blinding him or something. And then it cuts to like 8 years later, and then when you see Emmett, and he's leaving the work site because he's a construction worker, and all they do is build things based on instructions. So that's all he thinks he's ever done his whole life has been on instructions, based on instructions. Anyway, so it's the end of the workday. They're going home for the weekend, and he's getting ready to leave the pit, and he just happens to hear a noise down below, and it's Elizabeth Banks' character, Wildstyle, and she's trying to find the piece of resistance. She's got some sort of tracking device on it. Anyway, he goes down to get her, falls down a hole, and finds it on accident, and it gets stuck to his back. Like, just attached to his back. And so they think he's the special because Vitruvius tells this story of the legend of the special, and he's the smartest, most interesting Lego guy in the world.
And he ends up just being, like...
the opposite of that.
Yeah.
The most boring, generic... Even, like, at one point, they're talking to all of his friends, like, good cop catches him. Or bad, good cop, bad cop, catches him, and then they're interrogating him about how he got the piece of resistance, and they show him all these videos of them talking to his friends from work, and they're all like, "Who? Oh, that guy's the he's so boring and not interesting," and anyway, it just kind of makes him feel like shit. But I don't really want to say much more about the plot from there because it kind of just gets into like the storyline of the movie, detailed, but.
So he's like a really boring, only follows the rules, and then there are other people
who are master builders.
Who can create stuff out of their mind, and they just like build
whatever they
like. Yeah,
all they have to do is see any Lego pieces around, and they can picture how to put it together.
And that to me is like explains exactly why this movie is so fun.
Right.
It's like some people build the Legos by the book,
yeah.
And some people get a box of Legos and build shit
and figure out what kind of weird shit they can put together.
And if you've ever seen like what people can build with Legos, it's fucking crazy.
Oh my
god!
Did you see that woman the other day? She made a Lego version of herself.
No,
and that was her resume that she turned into this company.
Wow.
Yeah, she like made a box for it and everything, and it was like. I'm sure she had a printed out resume in there, like in the form of instructions or something. But yeah, she like had fabricated a Lego version of herself.
Picture.
I bet she used a 3D printer. I didn't read the story. I just saw the picture.
Maybe she used Legos.
Maybe she probably did, but it was really cool. I just saw, like I said, I just saw the picture of it. And I was like super impressed and it made me think of this, but yeah. So it's really cool to see like, yeah, it's really cool. And they go through all the stages of like all the different like Lego sets you can buy now. Like there's Batman. Batman's in there. There's a Superman and a
pirates.
Green Lantern,
there's...
which is really funny because it's Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill. And the joke is that Jonah Hill's like wants to be next to and near Channing Tatum all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they just keep making jokes about it. It's really funny. But yeah, they have the pirate set. Who I thought that was Sam Levine when we saw the movie because it sounds just like his regular voice, but it's Nick Offerman doing that voice, which is crazy to me because that his pirate voice sounds like Sam Levine just kind of barely putting on a fake pirate guy accent. But when I saw that, I was like, "You are kidding!" Like, I was blown
and then
away.
They like skip over like three or four of the generic ones. They're just like,
yeah,
and whatever. We don't have to talk about those.
Yeah, that was super funny. But they have Star Wars. Like they bring Han and Chewie and Lando come in the Millennium Falcon for like 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
But the only one who actually did his own voice was Billy Dee Williams, of course.
Right.
Harrison Ford's got better shit to do.
Which it's like.
Oh, and no, that's not true. C-3PO. C-3PO did the voice, too.
Pretty big blockbuster hit. You realize, like, even if you're Harrison Ford, like, do a cameo, dude.
Yeah,
quit
for sure.
Quit being a pussy.
Yeah.
Quit being an asshole.
He's too busy living in Montana or whatever. Yeah.
He thinks he's too cool for school.
Wyoming, I guess. But, yeah, it was really interesting to see just the kind of people they got to do voices for this movie. Like, you know, we went over a bunch of them already, but, like, Alison Brie is Unikitty, which is a fucking super funny character.
Really funny.
Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill, we talked about. I mean, tons of really good actors voicing characters. I mean, that alone should tell you that this movie isn't just your run of the mill kids show piece of garbage.
So one of the things that we've been talking about with kids shows, especially like the Lego Movie or really anything that comes out now, all the people who are doing the voice acting for all these movies are all people that we grew up liking. So.
Yeah,
so they're all like, in our wheelhouse. So like we could go watch shit when our kids are old enough to watch movies. Like we could go and watch these kind of movies with them, and we could be just as interested, if not more, because it's just so funny.
Yeah, I just bought Frozen. I'd never seen it before. I just bought it because I knew like Sheena and I saw all the previews, we were like, that really doesn't look very good. And then the movie came out and everybody loved it. It was this huge hit. And so I was like, there's got to be something to it. So I just bought it, like, sight unseen, and we watched it. And it's really good, too. It's really cool. The only thing I'd ever known about it was the previews they show and then the song that the chick sang on the Oscars.
Yeah, that song's awful.
Oh, it's good. I like it all right.
I don't like it at all.
I don't know. That's the first time I really heard it was on the movie. I'd, like, heard it in passing on the show, but I never...
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard the song by itself, and it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, I'm not going to bump it on my iPod.
It'd be okay if probably during the movie probably is all right. But
yeah, it's really funny. It's I think it just kind of boils down to that thing, too, where we're getting to be the age of where the people who are making these movies are our age. So they're making jokes that we can relate to and that we can understand. But at the same time, keeping it interesting enough that Milo's 8 months old and he's already watched it twice and it holds his attention and he laughs. And I mean, he doesn't know what's going on as much yet, but it's something that he can pay attention to.
Right.
So, I mean.
It's just bright colors and cool songs, you know? Like.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really cute. It's a good movie. I like it.
But yeah, the other one that comes to mind is Wreck-It Ralph for me. Like
one. Yeah.
All the video games that they characters they bring into the movie as cameos and like all the different voice actors, just like in the Lego Movie, is just super fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough about that movie.
No,
either.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph is probably one of my like two or three favorite movies of the last few years.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so fucking good. I love that movie. Like that's probably my favorite like new Disney movie for sure, without a doubt. It rules. But yeah, so obviously on the scale of watch it, don't watch it, the Lego Movie is a super duper watch.
Yeah, it's a very high watch it
give that
factor.
It's still in the theaters, not even the dollar theater yet, which I think is amazing, but
it'll still probably be in the theater for a while. Yeah. The cool thing nowadays too is they put stuff in the theater and it comes out on video a lot faster for us to watch.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Like if you haven't gone to the theater, it won't be long before you can either watch it on Netflix or, you know, buy the DVD here like real soon. So
yeah. I guess the Lego Movie just came out at the beginning of February. I thought it'd been out for a while before that, but
so that I still seems like kind of a long run though. Like how long does the movie usually last? 7 weeks?
Oh no, it's been 7 weeks. I don't know. It depends on the movie, I guess. I would say no more than like four or six weeks.
Yeah. And
but
it's
I guess
been
it just
seven.
It's hasn't like, been that
it's a solid flick.
Yeah, 8 weeks, yeah. That's pretty good. Pretty good.
So get your fucking kids.
So go see
go
it.
To
spend
the
money. Maybe they'll make more cool movies like this.
Yeah, go to an early show.
Yeah, go see
it. Go to the Dollar Theater when it comes out, and it will be cheap and awesome. We're going to get into one more Ume song. I feel funny saying that name.
Ume.
When I first looked him up, I thought they were called Yume.
Umi. Ami.
But it's ume, and apparently it's like a Chinese word or something for like plum or something
for
weird
buttholes.
Like that. Yeah, I don't know. But this third song is called Chase It Down, and this is off their new record as well called Monuments.
That was a good jam.
Ume.
It was a real rocker.
Chase It Down on their new record, Monuments. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, it was a good song. I really liked that one.
One of the cool things I thought about these guys was they had really great tones on everything. She had like a really awesome guitar rack that had like five guitars on it, and she played like every
one.
How
was her chest rack? Just kidding. Don't answer that question.
But yeah, she had like pretty much everything she played was Fender.
But really?
Yeah, she had two different Telecasters, a Stratocaster that was fucking sweet.
Like she played. You're talking about her guitar specifically, not her like her stack or anything like that. Or is that's not even the right word?
Well, yeah, she like that guitar rack right there is what she had.
Yeah,
but it was all Fender guitars.
Oh, interesting.
And, yeah, and then she had a Jazzmaster, I think.
She's like, were they just like have different tunings for a bunch of their shit? Yeah. Or is that,
yeah, so she's just... all of her stuff was like very like like down tuned, like, yeah, like a full or a half step down. So like everything was like, just the tones were awesome. She played a JCM 900 Marshall head with a Mesa Boogie
cab,
and it sounded awesome.
That's cool.
And then he was playing like a vintage Bassman amp for his bass. It was fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they sounded really good, and she wails on the guitar, and I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I like it.
So yeah, we'll get one more of their songs later, but right now.
It's time for trivia.
I'm
gonna see if I can pull up something while we play. What are we
gotta get some tunes, man. Gotta get some tunes. Some tunes.
What?
We're gonna play Trivia Pursuit Pop Culture 2. Back Sweet. To the Trivia Pursuit. We've seen it. Seen it's been done.
I really wanted to do Pee Wee's Big Adventure theme music. So I just don't even know what to do now.
Yeah, you know. It's so funny. I love Pee-wee.
I know.
Who doesn't?
Okay, so like that's just a great soundtrack.
It really
is. All the music, Danny Elfman did a killer job. Like, so cool.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'll just see whatever one comes up first, and that's what we'll do. Yeah, and I'll just like put it on
background noise
or whatever if I can.
Might as well. It's just background noise. But we got to have something under. They got to have a bed, man, for us to lay down this tasty trivia on.
I don't know what this is.
All right. Well, let's start with that, and we'll start with a question. Ready?
Yep.
Who was the first winner of American Idol? Do we already do these ones?
Yes.
I don't remember any.
Yeah, because you answered that question. It was Kelly Clarkson.
Since you've been gone. That's true. I think that we did do those.
We just need to flip it around and grab for the other side or something.
No, that's not how it works. Because it should be this way. All right, I think we got a fresh set. Okay, what game...
Do I get a point for that?
No. No, duh. What game dame cited her favorite put down as... You have a brain only a mother could admire.
A what dame?
Game.
Game. Dame?
No idea who this person is.
Then obviously I don't. Cody doesn't know who it is by looking at the card. I can only imagine.
Anne Robinson.
I was going to say, I don't even know.
I was going to totally guess. Anne Robinson.
Yeah,
just
Anne
throw
Robinson.
Two names
I didn't say
together.
Throw that name out.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Ain't never heard of him.
What TV show's unfaithful contestants pitched Woo at Captain Morgan's retreat in Belize?
Say that again?
What TV show's unfaithful contestants pitched Woo at Captain Morgan's retreat in Belize? I don't know what pitched Woo means.
Me neither. Captain Morgan's retreat in Survivor.
Temptation Island.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Something
says Anne Robinson was the lady who hosted The Weakest Link.
Oh.
But I don't.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. So she would say that to the people when they got kicked off the show. You have a brain only. Stupid. What three words completed the Urban Outfitters t-shirt slogan, Alabama? So many recipes.
So little Alabama.
It's close.
No, I'm saying it was in Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama.
So little brains. I don't know.
So many recipes, so few squirrels. Sorry, Alabama. I didn't write the t-shirt.
Well, that was stupid. What Whammo product was unleashed in a new 200-gram model designed... for Windy Days in 2004.
Say that one more time.
What Whammo product was unleashed in a new 200-gram model designed for Windy Days in 2004?
Is it the Aerobee? Or is it just a Frisbee?
It's the Frisbee.
Okay.
I'll give you a point.
That's mighty kind of you.
Even though you did speak an answer.
I did say Aerobee first.
Hastily.
Who, according to Hillary, was the only member of the Clinton household to keep Bill company in the weeks after he copped to the Lewinsky affair?
It's who in the family?
Yeah, who, according to Hillary, was the only member of the Clinton household to keep Bill company in the weeks after he copped to the Lewinsky affair?
Herself.
No, Buddy the dog.
Oh. Ouch. Yeah. I didn't know they even had a dog.
They're so tricky.
Even though all presidents have to have dogs now.
Apparently.
Otherwise, you're un-American.
Apparently.
Stupid.
Well, we have dogs. We're good Americans.
Who failed to emerge as the Democratic candidate for president in 2004 despite a hearty endorsement from Hootie and the Blowfish?
Howard Dean?
John Edwards.
Oh. I don't know. There was like five guys that year. Maybe Howard Dean was before that. Anyway.
I love the soundtrack.
It's
cool.
So good.
I wish it was the whole thing.
What best-selling rock band was stated by former members started... What best-selling rock band was started by former members of Hollywood Rose and L.A. Guns? Hollywood Rose and L.A. Guns.
Oh, Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses.
I was like, putting these together, I can almost visualize.
Is it Hollywood, L.A.?
And I thought, is it Guns N' Roses? That's too easy.
Sometimes they just give it away.
What rap group embarked on the historic Together Forever tour with Run DMC in 87?
The Beastie Boys?
Yes. Nice.
Okay.
Good for you. That was
oh
awesome.
Oh, my God. What 2003 film finds Buddy raging, "You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa"?
Read the beginning again one more time.
What 2003 film finds Buddy raging, "You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa"?
Is it Bad Santa?
No, it's Elf.
Oh. Oh.
Starring Will Ferrell.
I haven't seen either of those movies, so.
Well, you've never seen Elf?
No.
Oh, it's really funny.
I get that whenever I say I haven't seen Elf.
It's a blonde.
Is it really that good?
It's blonde Zooey Deschanel, so that's kind of a bummer, but.
That's too bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
What role did Michael Madsen end up playing in The Reservoir Dogs after auditioning to be Mr. Pink?
He's Mr. Blonde, right?
He is Mr. Blonde.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
Sorry, brah.
3-1, brah.
Okay. What gymnast stashed his gold medal in a pair of socks at his parents' Wisconsin home while a court decided whether or not he could keep it?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know, Mari. I'm not a gymnast.
Paul Hamm.
Okay.
I see you're not a gymnast.
What? Why is... Okay, this is crazy. What Linkster flew Hootie and the Blowfish to Barbados to play for his wedding party at the Green Monkey Golf Course?
Yeah, good question. Why are there two Hootie and the Blowfish?
Really, I know. That's what I was... Like, I couldn't even read it out loud because I was like, wait, two Hootie and the Blowfishes?
I'm gonna say Bubba Watson.
You should have said the
John
other
Daly.
The other really white black guy.
Oh, Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
yeah, Darius Rucker and Tiger Woods. Never have two whiter black men ever been born.
Except for maybe
Wayne Brady.
Yeah, Wayne Brady.
Is Wayne Brady gonna have to choke a bitch? What Cheers character, when asked what's shaken, replied, "All four cheeks and a couple of chins"?
I would have to guess that it was Norm.
Norm, totally. Norm Peterson, to be exact.
What TV series chronicled life after the arrival of 250,000 Tanktonese in Los Angeles? I've never heard of that.
I'm going to have to say Alien Nation.
250,000 Tanktonese. It is. I just watched that movie the other day.
They made a movie out of that?
Yeah.
The creepy-headed people?
Yeah.
I couldn't watch that show as a kid. It grossed me out too much.
Yeah, it was weird. The movie's okay.
What feminist sparked a nationwide craze for hip knitting circles with her 2003 book Stitchin' Bitch?
I've heard of it. I don't know. Ellen DeGeneres. I know.
You're sort of getting a raw deal here, bro. Debbie Stoller. Hmm.
She sounds like a real bitch. Stitchin' Bitch.
Stitchin' Bitch. She sounds like a real stitcher.
What leisure activity involves hooking together nubs and voids?
What leisure activity involves
hooking together nubs and voids?
Cross stitch.
Jigsaw puzzles.
That's not, no.
Nubs and voids, that makes sense.
No, but that's not what it's called. No, there's no term for that. Somebody made that up.
Somebody that wrote this card.
Somebody made everything up.
Oh, I forgot. We're drinking a new tan, black and tan.
I'm not. I haven't made mine yet.
Oh, it is. This time is the extra stout Guinness and the full suspension pale ale from Wasatch.
Squatters.
Oh, Squatters. Excuse me.
Same thing.
Pretty much.
Look how cool they look when you pour them in.
I know. He's getting all kinds of head. Did you guys hear that? That was Cody sucking on some head.
Mm-hmm. It was good. What Friends star sued Celebrity Skin magazine for hiring a man to scale a neighbor's wall and photograph her sunbathing topless?
Jennifer
what Friends
Aniston.
Star would you like to see topless?
Jennifer Aniston.
That's right.
I would look at Lisa Kudrow naked.
I look at all their boobs. Let's not lie. Let's just be honest with ourselves.
I don't know. I don't really want to see what's her face.
Not when she got all skinny.
No,
but just
no, not
when
she got all plastic surgery face.
Oh,
gross.
Yeah, that's true too. But I'm thinking of Friends era.
Yeah, Friends era would have been okay.
Yeah.
But now she's weird looking.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Well, it's because she got her ketted.
What Astro star was exonerated of spitting a sunflower seed on the pants cuff of a youth league ump in 2004.
What Astros star was acquitted of spitting sunflower seeds on a an umpire's?
A youth league camp ump. Youth league ump.
Why would you need to be acquitted of that?
Apparently they thought
you
it was
really
kinda,
got
they
arrested.
They were like, "Hey,
that
was shitty." No, he was just exonerated.
Oh,
I don't
well,
know. They,
still,
they probably were just like, "Hey, that was shitty," and he was like, "I didn't do it." And they were like, "Oh, you're right."
2004, right?
Yes.
Astros star. I have to go with Jeff Kent.
Roger Clemens.
Oh, fuck him. Who cares? He's not a star. He's a piece of shit. Okay, what rocker produced what he hoped would be Lollapalooza's successor, Area One, in 2001. I saw this guy live one time at Kingsbury.
So it's somebody that
trip.
Wanted to rip off Lollapalooza?
No, he thought he was making the next Lollapalooza.
I think I've heard about this, and I don't think I remember, but... David Byrne?
Moby.
Oh, Moby. Yeah, I don't,
Moby.
I don't know if I care for him that much.
I like some of his music.
It's okay.
I saw him live. It was a good show. It was him playing with records. It was still fun.
What was the first Michael Jackson video to air on MTV?
Billie Jean.
Yeah. I didn't think you'd get that. That was kind
of
hard.
It is the best video ever made.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, all the steps light up.
Saying right now, that is my favorite video of all times. Not song, just video.
I think that the video for Thriller is better.
Yeah, but Thriller is like a mini movie.
I know.
You call that a video. It's like saying Grease is a music video. Just kidding. Where did we leave off? Oh, what film finds a popular novelist expected to peck away on a keyboard that's missing the letter K, or N, excuse me. N. Missing the letter N.
I feel like I should also know this.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If I wouldn't have fucked it up the first time. Let me read it again. Clear
no,
your
it's,
mind.
It's... Okay, read it again. I don't think it's going to help. But.
Film finds a popular novelist expected to peck away on a typewriter that's missing the letter N, also based on a book by someone who also writes about popular novelists a lot in his books.
I'm thinking it's a Stephen King thing, but I have to say Misery is the only one.
Yep.
Oh. Well, that's the first thing that came to my head, but...
It's Misery.
All right, then.
I thought
that
movie.
I thought that was just too easy. Like, fuck.
That's one of those movies
The ones that seems easy and I know seem too easy. All right.
Yeah, you don't want to go with the obvious. Like, no, he's got
no way that's right.
Did you kill him?
No way did I know something. All right. What singer landed roles in Robert Altman's The Player, Shortcuts, and Pray a Porter?
Pray a Porter?
No, Pray a Porter.
What were the first two? I'm sorry.
The Player and Shortcuts.
And read me the beginning
He's
part
again. He's a singer, and he landed roles in Robert Altman's...
Robert Altman, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, I don't know.
Robert Loggia.
That's
not who it is.
I figured. Singer. Neil Diamond.
Lyle Lovett.
Oh. The guy, he married Julia Roberts for like 5 minutes. What Seattle veteran passed Harold Baines to become Major League Baseball's career leader for home runs by a designated hitter?
I have no idea.
Edgar Martinez. I wouldn't have gotten
that
in 9 years either. Duh.
I know so much about baseball.
You don't know that?
I love when we get to the sports
section. This is embarrassing.
My favorite. What team enhanced its NBA Bad Boys image in the 80s by wearing practice jerseys adorned with a skull and crossbones?
It would be the Detroit Pistons.
That's correct. All right. You went first, so that was the last question on that card. So the last card, going into the last card, it is Cody 6 and Blake 4. I'm feeling a little bit better about myself than when we started. Caught up a little bit, so let's see what happens.
All right. What boxer got the Ken Burns treatment in the 4-hour documentary Unforgettable Blackness?
Unforgettable Blackness? Jeez.
It's not as racist as it sounds.
Is it talking about getting knocked out, not being black?
That's about a black guy.
I'm going to say Ollie.
Jack Johnson.
I didn't know who Jack Johnson was.
Really?
Mm-mm. What was Andy Roddick's response on The Weakest Link when asked to name a letter of the alphabet that sounds like a female sheep?
Are you fucking... Is that really a question? Okay. Sounds like a female sheep. Well, he didn't say you, which is what they were looking for. So he must have said... Ba.
Yeah.
Really? He said ba.
B-A-A.
What a dumbass. Yeah, the correct answer is U. They were looking for
ba
U.
Ba is not a letter.
That's why, yeah, that's why I was like...
He went... I bet he went...
Bah. Yeah, probably. But yeah, I was like, okay, so U, like E-W-E, that's a female sheep.
Right.
That's what they're looking for. So obviously it couldn't have been that, because it wouldn't be good enough to be a question if he just got it right. I didn't think it'd be that he'd be that fucking
what?
Stupid. But
a stupid question. For both The Weakest Link and for this card.
It's true. I agree. Okay. Where are we? What restaurant chain tantalizes taste buds with walkabout soup and kookaburra wings?
It's the Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, it's Outback Steakhouse, totally.
It's in the Outback. That wasn't... Sound like a leprechaun. Why does everything I do sound like a leprechaun? What furnishings chain sponsored Britain's first national meatball eating competition in 2000?
IKEA.
I'm not even gonna look at the answer. I know
IKEA.
That's what it is.
IKEA. What gubernatorial first lady leapt off a couch and broke her foot when the Red Sox's David Ortiz hit a single to beat the Yankees in the 2004 playoffs. She wasn't alone there.
In what year?
2004. Gubernatorial First Lady. Yeah. She was not, she's not a gubernatorial First Lady of Massachusetts, but her family is from Massachusetts. She might be a Kennedy.
She might be a Kennedy.
She's a Kennedy.
I don't know.
Maria Shriver.
How is she a Kennedy? That's Shriver is her last name.
I think her mom or somebody. I don't know. But they're all from Massachusetts.
Oh. I didn't know that.
That's why she care.
All I know about the Kennedys is they all get killed.
It's true. She didn't. Yet. Not that I want anything bad to happen to Maria Shriver. Let me just make that perfectly clear.
Okay. What star of Desperado claims she once told men who'd kidnapped her, "Kill me, I believe in reincarnation, I'll just come back"?
Salma Hayek?
Yeah. It's like...
Why does it just say, who was the chick in Desperado?
Yeah. Fucking asshole.
That's so funny. Like, am I supposed to, like, really ponder? Oh, it can't be Salma Hayek. That's too obvious. Okay.
What are you doing over there?
Teens, I'm
You're
reading
like playing
you
fucking Candy
I'm
Crush.
I'm reading you a question. No, I'm not playing Candy Crush. What teen singing sensation of the 80s was less known by her last name, Darwish? I think I know this one.
Tiffany.
It totally is Tiffany. I did not know that. Are you a Tiffany fanatic?
Boom!
Did you ever see that documentary?
I spent
think a lot
we're
of times, now?
I spent a lot of times in malls when I was like 4.
That's what they say when we're together. Have you seen there's a documentary on Netflix called I Think We're Alone Now, and it's about these two like old creepy dudes that are like super obsessed with Tiffany?
No, that's gross.
I want to watch it so bad, but I haven't yet.
Netflix, yo.
So good. We'll have to do a documentary episode.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Where we watch documentaries on Netflix.
If you guys want us to watch documentaries, write in and tell
have
us.
Have you seen the, have I ever told you about the Resurrect Dead? About the Toynbee tiles?
No.
That
oh, yeah, yeah, I know you told me about
yeah.
that.
That one's really
That
cool.
would be good, because that would, not only would it be something about a movie to talk about, but we would talk about, like, the actual thing that was in the movie that would be interesting.
Yeah, that's, documentaries would be solid. We should do that.
Let's just, Turtley. You know what? Fuck this. Let's start over. We're just only going to do documentary movies from now on.
Docs. That's our
We're
thing.
We're just going to talk about docs.
That's our thing.
It's going to be
this
called
This is
doc
the DocCast. High five.
You guys didn't hear that high five because it was weak.
Because we're across the table from each other.
What tenor got his career in gear after he crooned Miserere? I don't read other languages very well. With Italian rocker Suchero Fornaciari.
I'm going to say Luciano Pavarotti.
Andrea Bocelli.
Andrea Bocelli. Okay.
You get no point.
I don't. Okay.
I can't win.
You can still have fun. What Al Pacino movie was based on the real-life John Wojtowicz, who'd helped a bank to pay for his lover's sex change operation? What is that how you say it?
Al Pacino in a
Al Pacino.
Gay sex movie?
I don't think it's gay sex necessarily.
It was his lover.
Well, he's got a sex change, though, so they're having gay sex. They're trying to not have gay sex. Based on real life, who'd helped a bank to pay, held up a bank. I'm an idiot. Yeah, this is my first time reading out loud. Who'd held up a bank to pay for his lover's sex change operation.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen this movie.
Dog Day Afternoon. I've never seen it either, but I've heard it's really good.
Huh. All right, Al Pacino.
Hoo-ah!
What movie required Robert Downey Jr.'s character to go from age 18 to 83?
RDJ, 18 to 83. Is it Button Benjamin?
Wrong actor.
It's the opposite, though. They did opposites. Young at Heart? I don't know. That's not even him. I don't know what it is.
It's Chaplin. They're just saying in the movie at some point they had him be one age. And
yeah, all right. I never saw that.
Stupid. Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to. I mean, I guess a lot of people like Chaplin. I
don't know. Those movies are boring.
I don't really get it.
I don't like those old movies that much. They're kind of boring to me.
Maybe we should do a Chaplin episode.
We should do a silent movie challenge where we see how many silent movies we can sit through. One, I bet.
You know what we should do? We should do like a movie interruptions like Doug Benson does, but do it only silent movies.
So we're not really interrupting anything.
It's like, look at that guy. He's dancing.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Or we just try to come up with the captions before they come up.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Be like, you stepped on my toe and now I'm really pissed off at you. What?
That's a good idea.
Peps, that is a good idea. It's more of a live interactive video environment, though. I wouldn't care if we're doing a podcast. What Pepsi pitchman sued Coca-Cola for 1 yuan in 2003 for picturing him on bottles in Shanghai? 2003 Pepsi pitchman, Chinese.
Jackie Chan.
Big in Japan. No, Yao Ming.
Oh.
Yao Ming. I don't know how much money a yuan is, but it's $1 million to
yuan. You know what? It means nothing in America.
That's right. That's why they get our money.
What AL Central team's former stadium chief admitted rigging air ducts to create homer-friendly breezes when the home team was at bat?
What?
What AL
Central team. Okay, so
its former stadium chief admitted rigging air ducts to create homer-friendly breezes when the home team is at bat. He made the air nice so that when they hit the ball, it went further.
No, yeah, I get that. I don't think any AL Central teams play in a dome, so I don't really know.
I at least know that AL means American League.
Yeah, you nailed it. Give me a second.
This has been solid trivia music.
The Thanks Minnesota Danny Twins. Elfman.
It is.
It's the only one that plays in a dome.
And the final score.
They don't anymore, though.
Cody 10, Blake 6.
It's a walk-off.
Ah, boo.
It's a walk-off.
Well, that's okay. I feel pretty good about 6 on a Trivial Pursuit game, to be quite honest
with you.
Fuck
yeah, dude.
It does not
bother me at
all.
Those are pretty good percentages. Especially for the pop culture one, I think, is like even more random. Anytime there's like a specialty Trivial Pursuit, I feel like they're a little bit more random. Like the 90s one is like just ridiculous.
They can either be much harder questions or much easier.
Were some in there that I think were like you said, almost too easy where you're like, I don't want to say that because it seems like it's too
Trivial
easy.
Trivial Pursuit itself always just seems like hard almost every time.
Totally.
It's like you have to have some really good trivia knowledge to pull that shit off.
It's so true, dude. It's so true.
So that's the end of trivia time. But before we go, you changed some stuff for websites and stuff.
We got new deets.
So if you want to go ahead and throw those out.
You can still go to thisistheplacepodcast.com. But we switched the default page to theplacepodcast.com to kind of cut down on the mouthfulness of it.
Yes.
We have thisistheplacepodcast@gmail.com. We now have theplacepodcast@gmail. We're on Facebook. We have
and Twitter is still at theplacepodcast, which is what it was before.
Yeah, theplacepodcast. Go pick up a 25th anniversary City Weekly Best of Edition.
Ooh,
and,
yeah.
And we put an ad in there for fun, just because.
Yeah,
fun.
Hopefully, if you saw that ad, write something on our webpage and let us
know.
We want to know that we're getting some shit for putting some ads out.
I know you're seeing it. Just got to tell us that you saw it. So, but those are our deets and dates and dinks and dunks.
Do you feel like writing more stuff? Get on our website and give us ideas for drinks to do.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to us get drunk off of your favorite booze, we are more than happy to do so.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody. I hope you had a fun time. I did.
It was good.
It was really fun.
Pretty solid.
We'll see you again in a couple weeks.
We're going to listen.
Rock out with your perspective members.
Listen to
members
one out. More Ume song. And this is off of, I don't know in what order this album is in, but it is called Phantoms, the album. And the song is called The Rubicon.
I hope this is a hard rocker, too.
I really like this one. So check it out. We'll see you guys next time.
Party.